The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Eklund Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Will Smith knocks it loose at the Sens blue line, but Ottawa has numbers and they pick it up. Sanderson, oh boy, hitman fast. It's moving in, a breakaway, into the zone, stopped in the front of the net, they score! That's going to be Stützle who gets credit for it. Batherson was coming in all by himself, making the move in there with Nick Cousins, and the puck was rolling on the goal line with Nedeljkovic making the commitment, and trailing the play, it'll be Stützle that bangs it in to give the Senators the lead.
Yeah, we're just disconnected. We get the one. You thought it would. You would think that would get us going, but we ad lib a lot of things, and we're not. It makes us unconnected, and you don't have success when you do that.
And we're back, everyone. The San Jose Sharks falling to the Ottawa Senators yesterday by a final of 3-2. Kind of an odd continuation of what we've seen from San Jose, of what has not been their best hockey of the season. And it's interesting to say that because in the midst of what I would call their not best hockey of the season, they've still been able to win some games. They've still been able to make some progress. And I think that winning when you're not at your best is an important thing to do. I don't think that's any sort of a controversial or shocking statement. But they won in Minnesota on the 11th with not a very great performance. And then they lost against Calgary and Seattle. Neither of those performances were great. But at least against Seattle, they had a better start than they did against Calgary, which was entirely flat and continued on a trend that we saw from Minnesota. And then they came home and they beat Utah. That took an absolutely incredible performance from Macklin Celebrini. He went out of his mind and had a hat trick and just continued on his historic pace that he's been on. Then you had the win against LA. Now, LA was not the cleanest win that we've ever seen. It was not the best win that we've ever seen. But I do think it's important to note that San Jose was at some times taken out of their game because they were going up against a very good, heavy, experienced LA team. But they still managed to win that game. So we're talking about a win in overtime and then a win in a shootout. And then yesterday, they come out of the gates blazing hot. And they score a goal only to see it taken off the board. And it seemed like that was a little bit of a deflating moment for San Jose. And they really could never quite recover in terms of finding momentum and taking control of the game. But that's something that they need to figure out how to do. When they have that speed bump early on, make sure that it's only just a speed bump, that it doesn't turn into anything worse. And they ended up going down 1-0 by way of a goal from Dylan Cousins, 7:50 into the first period. But they did find a way to tie it thanks to John Klingberg with a power play goal assisted by Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith.
Poked back now to the point by Eklund. Klingberg, nice keep in. Got it around Stützle. Eklund now to Celebrini. Down low to Smith in the corner. Back to Macklin on the left side. Beats to the right point. Klingberg. He shoots. Score! John Klingberg, what a wrist shot. Going to the top corner. Stick side of Ullmark. And the Sharks with a power play goal tie it and one.
Then in what was kind of a weird broken play was Barclay Goodrow, who gave the Sharks a 2-1 lead off a goal assisted by Alexander Wenberg, Mario Ferraro, and, well, the fact that Goody was in the right place at the right time.
That's basically going to do it on the power play. About 4 seconds left on the call. Stützle couldn't get around Wenberg. Wenberg steals it. Penalty is over. Here comes Wenberg down the right. Across the line. Centering feed. Ferraro. One-time shot save. Rebound. Wenberg scores! Ferraro jumping up into the play gave the Sharks the first opportunity, but when it was stopped by Ullmark, how about Alex Wenberg knocking that backhander home after making the play down the right wing boards, and Wenberg makes it 2-1 San Jose, the crowd eating it up at SAP Center.
Yeah, it wasn't until we saw the replays that we saw that it was actually credited to Goodrow, but the Sharks were able to wrest control of this game, at least briefly, taking a 2-1 lead. But that was in the midst of a second period that was really all Ottawa. I know that they had a lead, but they never had control of this game, and I think that's probably what I found so concerning, because it just didn't look like San Jose was playing their best game up to this point. And then familiar foe Fabian Zetterlund tied things at 2 by way of a late second period goal, and those were always relatively deflating. It came at the 18:38 mark. It's 2-2. The Sharks just looked out of sorts. Then you go to the third period, and what was a bad change led to a goal by Tim Stützle to make it 3-2 for your final.
Will Smith knocks it loose at the Sens blue line, but Ottawa has numbers, and they pick it up. Sanderson, oh boy, hitman fast. It's moving in, a breakaway, into the zone, stopped in the front of the net, they score! That's going to be Stützle who gets credit for it. Batherson was coming in all by himself, making the move in there with Nick Cousins, and the puck was rolling on the goal line with Nedeljkovic making the commitment and trailing the play. It'll be Stützle that bangs it in to give the Senators the lead.
So that's your final, and I think what I like out of all of this is that the Sharks are starting to present a reality where fans are once again not the most comfortable with losses. We've grown relatively accustomed to the wins, and listen, I don't know that the Sharks will be playing at a super high level forever, but we want to enjoy the wins as often as possible. We want to see them continue to perform at a very, very high level. And this was a game where the Sharks saw the Senators be very physical with them. They made mental mistakes like bad changes. They turned the puck over. They weren't winning faceoff battles. They played what I would consider to be one of their worst games since the rough start of the season. But with all that, they're still in this game. The one thing that I keep on coming back to is that you've got a power play goal that you give up, and you've got issues on changes as being the way that Ottawa was able to score goals in this game. That's not a lack of defensive structure. That's not an indictment of what the Sharks have been doing as of late. That's the Sharks being their own worst enemy. When you combine the turnovers with big-time mental errors, yeah, you're going to end up on the wrong side of this. And while you were hoping there would be some sort of a miracle moment of heroics, you can't always count on those heroics. You just need to take care of business. You just need to play your game. And I keep on referencing the way that they played against New Jersey a couple weeks ago, where they won easily. I won't say easily. I'll say they won handily. They took control of the game and never looked back. That's what you want more and more of. Those are the types of performances. You'll take the heroics when they come, the star turn, whatever it's going to be. But I would like to see more of those moments where the Sharks just take control of a game and put it out of reach. Last year, the year before, etc., we've seen so many games where it was a one-goal loss or a one-goal plus an empty netter or an overtime loss or a shootout loss, that this year when you get any of those wins, you're going to take it. You're not going to complain. You're going to say, I'm going to take those 2 points and get the hell out of Dodge. You just want wins for the sake of wins. That said, while we reference the whole topic of growth, it can't just be overtime and shootout wins. They've got to be able to take care of games in regulation. They've got to be able to take care of their business and put the game out of reach. And for a multitude of reasons, they were not able to do that in this game, but the game also never got out of reach for them. They had that final faceoff with the extra man on the ice with just over 4 seconds remaining. It didn't go their way, but again, that's indicative of the game not being out of reach, not being too much for them to handle, and what I would consider a moment where the Sharks were hoping to steal a point out of this game. That's a result that was previously not something they were going to be able to find very often. So again, I appreciate the fact that the Sharks gave themselves a chance out of this one. Also, I'm glad they're just able to put it back of their minds, rearview mirror, and move on to today's game against the Bruins. A 5 o'clock start time, 4:30 pregame right here on the Sharks Audio Network. All right, we got into all of this after we finished doing the show on NBC last night, Alan Hoshida and I. I want you guys to hear that conversation because we got into a lot of things with the Sharks right now. Positive, negative, curiosities, everything. All right, we are now joined on the Sharks Audio Network by Alan Hoshida, the host of NBC Sports California Sharks pre- and post-game live. Alan, if there's one, yeah, we got a nice backdrop here today. They left the lights on for us. Thanks, guys. If there's one takeaway that you and I have from today is that even though the Sharks did score a power play goal, This was not a game where we're going to be very happy about their power play. Continuing a longer-term trend, what was it, 13.5% success rate as of late?
Which in November.
That's I mean, they've scored in three straight games off the power play. And I feel like that's wildly deceptive because what we are consistently seeing from the power play speaks volumes about their lack of overall ability to take over games.
Yeah, I think they're doing a great job of drawing penalties. I believe they're one of the top drawing penalty teams in the league. Macklin Celebrini certainly is, but they're not taking advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of points in games throughout the last month. And yes, they've paid them off, a lot of them. So, you know, we can't go doom and gloom on it. But there's been a lot of points when the Sharks are not playing well and when it looks like they're going to lose that they have opportunities on the power play. And they're just not able to cash in. Even today against the Senators, they had a couple power plays in the third period. And they only had two shots total in those first two. So, It just seems like there needs to be a little bit more urgency, a little bit more purpose, or maybe a little less purpose. You know what I mean? Like in the sense of like this team is so talented, young, they know they have the skill to do it and they can make the perfect play. But maybe you just don't need the perfect play.
Yeah, it's like they're trying to do too much, right? Yeah. It's like they're trying to set things up a little bit too according to plan. It's like, well, the schematic, our playbook says to do this. Yeah. And then as opposed to just letting their raw ability with the man advantage take over. And like we talked about in postgame, one of the things that I saw was like, okay, if you're setting up, wait for them to show you the box or the diamond or however they're going to set up. Wait for somebody to come at you and see where that creates space. It seems like they're so intent on being like a Tampa team when they were at their prime. Like, move the puck fast, 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 fast. It's like, guys, don't do that if it's not there. Like, wait to see what's presented to you because you just – you pull that box out, and then eventually when you move the puck, that box will collapse on itself, creating much more space.
Or also shoot before they get set up.
Yeah.
Before you do a bunch of fluid things, just get a quick shot up to the net, and even if it's saved, there's chaos, right? Then they're not in their system. They're already moving around too. So I think it's a combination of what you're saying is if you are getting set up here, let's make it quick here and figure out what they're doing and move it around and just take a quick shot. But if you can, and you can get a shot off before the defense even sets, that's even better because then they're already kind of moving around and you can then find lanes. There's more open space. And then you can make that pretty, pretty play that opens up a back door tapping.
If the Sharks had won that last faceoff with 4.2 seconds left, what would they have done immediately?
Probably shot the puck.
Because there is urgency.
Oh, yes, because there's only 4 seconds.
And that's the thing. It's like you have to have – if you're going to be a power play team that's struggling, then force the issue is my point. Win the puck, shoot, put it on frame. On the flip side, the penalty kill has been phenomenal. I know they gave up a power play goal today, but if you are on the kill five times, that's going to happen. Yeah, and okay. I think overall, though, the longer-term trend of the way they've been so successful on the penalty kill is encouraging, and I think that's a point of strength for them right now, which I guess if your power play is not going to be great, then the other side of your special teams needs to be.
Better be, 94.5 or over 94% in November. It's been so good that in the first month, I think they're around less than 70% on the kill. They're already up to 88 on the on the year. So the penalty kill has been outstanding. I talked to Yaroslav Askarov this week, and he said – They're playing with confidence and a little bit of bravado because no one's afraid to not block the puck. He called it there's five goalies out there. And I think that's a good thing to have when you're penalty kill. And it also gives your confidence in your goalie that he's going to get a stop here or he's going to get the opportunity to see pucks or they're going to be deflected through and they're not going to always get through onto him. And so, the penalty kill has been outstanding. If you're going to keep doing something well, I guess you want to do that one well, the most part. But, they got to find a little bit more balance overall. Because, I know. They say overall, if your special teams are around 100%, if you add them together, that's what you want. And technically, right now, it's like at 105 or 110. So you accept it. But you also have to accept that your penalty kill is probably not going to be at 95% all year. If it does, great. That's a top five penalty kill in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
But your power play's got to get to just like 20%. Yeah. Just get to 20% and see where it's going. And then I think it takes off some pressure from your even strength play. Like you can feel like, oh, we're going to get a goal. And right now it's just feeding the other team.
It is. And that's the thing is like you're creating a little bit of confidence by just not being better on the penalty kill. And I'd love to say that it is more about the opposition's penalty kill because they have gone against some decent kills as of late. But that's not what I'm seeing. Now, Some of the other things that I'm really wondering about is that, can you imagine if there was a Kachuk on the ice out there today with the physical nature of the way the Senators played against San Jose? Yeah. We just saw L.A. do it. I think there was better pushback from the Sharks against L.A. But I am wondering if teams are going to figure out, and you said that might be how they slow down a fast, skilled team like San Jose.
Yeah, we've seen it. And back in the day, it's funny that the Western Conference was known as the more physical conference, the one that was going to bring the body and the physicality, and the East was the more of the high skill. It's kind of flipped now. And yeah, if I'm the other team, you saw it from the Kings, you saw it from the Senators, and both these games were not the best games from the San Jose Sharks. And that also look at the opponent and what they're doing. And they are finishing checks. They are making it hard on Macklin Celebrini and the high skill guys. And so there does need to be a little bit more of a pushback. Ryan Reeves did his best, but also has to just be, doesn't always have to be, you hear Drew talk about it all the time, it doesn't have to be the big hit.
Yeah.
Just finish checks routinely, regularly, consistently. Because then you're going to wear down the other team's body, like Shabbat. We saw at the end of the game, he got hit by Reeves, I believe, and he was a little ginger coming up, and you just never know. I'm not saying you want to injure guys, but the more wear and tear you get on the body throughout the game, the more you're huffing and puffing. You're trying to get your body to recover. So I think we are going to see this as kind of the formula from other teams, if they also have the guys to do it, to slow down a high-paced team like the San Jose Sharks, who are high-skill, young, still trying to figure out everything that they need to figure out to be a winning team in this league. Just keep coming at them, hit them, and see if they can handle the hits.
And I would like them to take a little bit of that into their own DNA and hit back against other teams.
Well, I asked them about that post-game against the Kings. I said, you know, this was one of your more physical games. Is this something you can take forward? And they both, I talked to Philip Kurshev, Ryan Warsawski, they were available, and they all said, yes, it's something they need to do. Yeah. And so it was a little funny to me, and funny is not the right word, but that then this game, it was kind of the same formula, and they didn't respond in the same way that they did against the Kings.
Yeah, you would have liked a little bit more of that pushback, but I look at the greater narrative, and that we're starting to get a little bit, not upset about losses, but they haven't been the norm.
Right.
And I think that mindset setting in has to be the right way. Like, you can't just say that all losses are unacceptable, because if you freak out over every loss, it's not going to be good for the team's overall mental well-being, but you have to be able to rectify from the losses. And I think that when you look at the two wins that preceded it this week, it was not the Sharks being at their best, but they still found ways to win in overtime and in a shootout. However, they were not at their best in this game. There were no dramatics. There were no heroics. They lost. Okay, so how do they take that into tomorrow against a good team in the Boston Bruins? It's going to be a big crowd because Boston draws well. That's got to be kind of part of that mindset of rectifying the mistakes and not just counting on somebody to be a superhero.
Well, I always think that a loss like this is good going into a back-to-back. It'd be better, obviously, coming off a win.
Yeah.
Obviously. But if you're going to lose and you have a game to come right back-to-back, go right into that next one. Especially, you know, you're playing a team that in the Boston Bruins, guys get up for. This is a game that guys get up for, but they have to play well again from the get-go. But the second periods, man, it's the second periods this season that seem to be where they take the foot off the gas or where they start to lose their game in some semblance. And, you know, sometimes that's because, you know, the Sharks have a lead, and that's something different than we've seen in the last couple of years. Is they have a lead after the first period, or they had a really good first period, and so it's forcing the other team to say, oh, well, we can't have another period like that, so they come out. But the 24-hour turnaround, it's actually get one extra hour, so that's good, 5 o'clock. I think it'll actually be good. I think they get out there and keep going at it. We know it's probably going to be pretty much the same lineup, especially up front, because they don't have any other forwards. So it's going to be the same lines, and then we expect to see Sam Dickinson there in the back end.
I love the fact that they have to get back and play tomorrow, because this was a bad game. The games on Tuesday and Thursday were not great. I think Thursday is a little bit misleading because LA is a really good, heavy team. But I do think that those were not their best games. This was not their best game. But now they've got to forget about it quickly. And one of the things that I've consistently talked about, Alan, is that in sports, how quickly you're able to correct mistakes. And that's maybe what's most troubling to me, is they're not getting more shots off. Like, that lesson hasn't been learned. They're not being more aggressive 5-on-5. The power play has consistently been an issue. They have somewhat relied on heroics, which, great, heroics. You need heroics to win these one-goal games. A year ago, they lost all these one-goal games, or one and an empty netter, or in overtime, or in a shootout. So occasionally you need your goalie to stand on his head. You need your superstar to play like a superstar. Take those when they come, but also see what's putting you in that situation where you need those heroics and rectify it. And that's got to be, I know that's a lot to throw at any team in 24 hours, but in tomorrow's game and in the path forward, that's got to be part of what they're doing is get those mistakes out of the game. I mean, two times today, bad changes. Yeah. Maybe that more than anything else, more than even shot volume, no bad changes tomorrow.
No, you can't have bad changes. And it was from the top line. Yeah. It was from the top line. And that's why sometimes when you look at plus minus, it's a little misleading because they make a bad change there on the first Fabian Zetterlin goal. The other fourth line comes on and they're getting dashes. When really it wasn't their fault that the whole breakdown happened. So that's why when people say they don't like the plus minus, that's where it goes to. But you're right. They have to come back and have better changes. That's got to be number one. The Senators had 29 shots on net. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call a lot of them that dangerous. I mean, a few of them were when they were set up on offense and what, but it's when you're giving a free break down the line, the lane, those are going to be dangerous chances. But so the fact that they did, defensive structure was okay, and the fact that most of the shots were not super dangerous when everything was set. But man, those breakdowns and you're giving odd man rushes, those are tough on your goalie. They're tough on your back end. And it can't happen tomorrow against a very good and a team that's rolling that no one really thought was going to be rolling at this point, the Boston Bruins.
Well, yeah, to your point, I mean, it's the defensive structure wasn't the issue in this game, nor was the net minding. You're talking about giving up a power play goal and then bad change, right? Like that's not the team defense throughout the entirety of the game. Those are mental errors. And even that third goal, Nedeljkovic makes the stop. Yep. The puck sat there for what felt like an eternity and eventually Stützle comes flying in to hammer it home and Klingberg's stick gets caught up on Ned's pads. That wasn't bad net minding. That wasn't bad team defense. That was mental mistakes in this game.
And Warsaw did say that he didn't like the way his team, their puck battle play tonight. Mm-hmm. And that probably is considered a puck battle right there too. Yeah. So I think they need to be a little more urgent, care for the puck a little bit more as well, that we hear throughout the years of caring about the puck, puck management, Ryan Warsawski talks about. But also, they didn't win a lot of battles. It was a lot of 50-50 pucks went to the Senators, and you just have to – the want. They talk about the want. You have to want it more. You have to want that puck. And then when you do get the puck, you have to cherish it like a little baby – and that you're going to do everything in your power to make sure it stays with the teal team. And I think sometimes they just get careless, and they tend to get careless at bad spots, like their attacking blue line or their own blue line, which are maybe the two worst places that you want to turn the puck over in the NHL.
You mentioned something earlier to me today that blew my mind a little bit. It was about Chicago's schedule. Do you remember what that was?
Yeah, they had only played like one back-to-back. I think it just happened this week.
Whereas the Sharks have played countless back-to-backs at this point. They're in the midst of one. When you listen to this podcast, they're going to be ready for another back-to-back, what will be later Sunday at 5 o'clock. Maybe the schedule has played a little bit of a role in the Sharks maybe not being as fiery as they were a couple of weeks ago. But like I said, they're still finding ways to win games.
Yeah.
But I often wonder about if they just play a physical game against LA, if they are going up against a physical Ottawa team, if they're not able to win those 50-50 battles. I do wonder about the schedule taking its toll, because it's a factor for every team in the NHL, similar but different because they're all going to be in similar schedules. But the fact that the Sharks have had so many up to this point, you do wonder if that's why maybe they didn't have that jump throughout the entirety of this game.
Well, 3 and 4 nights is tough. Yeah. I mean, that's what it's going to end up being, no matter where you do it. I do think, they're young. They should be able to get it going, but some of the guys aren't that young. Tyler Toffoli, Ryan Reeves, Barkley Goodrow.
John Klingberg.
Yeah, John Klingberg. They're not, Dmitry Orlov aren't super young, so I think so, but they've actually played pretty good in their back-to-backs.
The
second game has been all right, so I think this early in the season, I think they should be all right, but it is getting condensed. So you see the 3-week break in February, and around it, it just looks like it's every other day, every other day, every other day. And so that they just got to get used to that, though, because I don't think that's really going anywhere, because even non-Olympic years, maybe it's a 2-week break, and we saw that for Four Nations last year. And in February, we had 6 games. This year, we have 4. So it's not like, I don't think this condensed schedule is really going away. Especially because they're going to add 2 games here. They're going to go to 84 games. So I don't know. I know the wear and tear on the body is a lot, but they're also they have the top. I sometimes feel like we also need to be like, okay, you're playing hockey, you're a professional athlete, you got to rebound, you got this are just part of the deal.
That's your job.
It's your job. But yeah, I think it's going to be. I think it is tough, but I think the Sharks so far have handled it pretty well this season as far as back-to-backs in the condensed schedule. Because no one's going to talk about it when you're doing well, right? And it's only when it comes up when you're like, oh, man, maybe. Steve Kerr talks about it a lot, but, you know, what is that?
10-9-3. I think if you had told either of us that heading into the Thanksgiving holiday with two games to go, Sunday and Wednesday, that they were going to be 10-9-3 at that point, I think you'd have been ecstatic.
Yeah.
I think that that's one of the things that where we're getting into this to where it's like, oh, a loss feels like it's more than it is because you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. But I think this Sharks team has proven, you know, that they've taken a step forward. It's just a question of how big of a step. And I think that's the next thing we're waiting for them to answer. If they bounce back with a win tomorrow,
yeah,
three out of four in a homestand, you're like, this is a legit team.
Well, yeah, and that the thing is, I think tomorrow is a pretty big game because as far as psyche goes, you started 2-0 on the homestand and then you end even. That wouldn't be great.
Yeah.
And then you're going on the road and the team you're facing on Wednesday happens to be like the only fully formed wagon in the NHL right now, and that's the Colorado Avalanche.
Are they good? I hadn't heard.
In Colorado, and they've lost once in regulation.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so I think tomorrow is a big game because there is an opportunity, but the Sharks beat the Avs, so we'll shout that out.
Yeah.
They did beat the Avs. But I think this is a big game because if you win this game against the Bruins, you go on that road for that one game, you come back home, and you know, sometimes you just need to get to 3-1 at home because you just also want to keep that home ice advantage going. They played really good at home. They're 6-1-1 the last eight. So when you still look say like that, it still sounds really good. 6-1-1. It's just now that one just happened, and now you want to end it quickly. And also, they've played well against the better teams in this league this year. They have big wins against the better teams, including the Avs, the Devils. The Bruins are playing really well right now. Mm-hmm. They're going to get up for this game. And also, they got big number 30 back there, likely in net, in Yaroslav Askarov, who, last I checked, .952 save percentage this month, so not bad.
But how about just overall that as good as Askarov has been, Ned, when he started, has been really good.
Yep.
Goaltending isn't an issue right now. And even Ned, listen, there's three on the board against him in this game. He's not the problem in any way, shape, or form.
No.
I mean, he was very, very good, made the stops. Askarov has been great. It's a great storyline for the San Jose Sharks to have. I don't want to call it a two-headed monster because it's game 22.
Yeah.
But you feel confident with whoever's in net.
Yeah, I think you feel confident in the fact that they're going to give you a chance to win.
Yeah.
And the backup's going to be in there and make some good saves, some big saves. We saw Alex Nedeljkovic make a big save early in the third period, a glove save. It was on the – I want to say it was on – I think it was on the power play.
Yeah, because the first 8 minutes of the third period was on some sort of a power play.
So you know they're going to play well enough for you to win the game. It's going to be about can you score enough. And right now I'm thinking, man, was I wrong? I didn't think the Sharks were going to have issues scoring goals. And overall, I think they're still around three on the year, which is up a half a goal from last year. But right now, they're kind of struggling to get that extra goal that really makes things comfortable.
Yeah, no, right? I agree.
Even against the Kings, they're up one, and if they get two, it makes it a little more comfortable. They haven't had the comfortable win in a couple weeks.
Which is why I point to that Devils game when they won 5-2, where they just took control of the game. I'd like to see more of that. But I think you'd like to see more of your family right now, so I'll let you go, Al. But, and I gotta get home as well and get working on a podcast and some dinner and some sleep because what time is it right now? It's 7:37 p.m., which means we are, just around 21 hours away from the next Sharks game.
That's right. Smelling salts, just like the kids do on the bench. Get them from Revo and we'll go.
You got any smelling salts at home?
No, absolutely not.
I do. I'll bring them in.
Oh, let's do it.
All right. Thanks, Alan.
See you later.
Again, that is Alan Hoshida of NBC Sports California joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. And I always enjoy Alan's insights. Great time working with him as always. And I recommend you check out all the stuff that he's been doing on his social media and stuff. He posts clips of the interview he does as well. He's doing a great job in his role. But we are just about out of time. As a reminder, 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock go time. Sunday night hockey from the tank. The Boston Bruins in town to take on the San Jose Sharks. East Coast versus West Coast. Two teams outperforming expectations. I think we are in store for what is going to be a pretty entertaining game and gives the Sharks also a really, really good opportunity to bounce back from a not great performance against Ottawa. I'll see y'all tomorrow with the buildup for the San Jose Sharks. I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.